This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson. A dozen years ago, in the very early days of Studio 360, we did a piece about a father and son who had collaborated on a book. The father was a photographer, and the son, who was just 8 years old at the time, wrote stories as captions for each image. That piece was produced by Hilary Frank, who was a pretty green reporter herself back then. Now she hosts a podcast about parenting called The Longest Shortest Time. She recently revisited that father and son to learn about their latest book and what it's like to collaborate as adults.
I met the Romas, Thomas and Giancarlo, at their home in Brooklyn 12 years ago. I loved talking to them. They were so open and honest and funny. They held hands for pretty much the entire interview. The book they made together was called Show and Tell. Thomas, the photographer, did the showing, and Giancarlo, the writer, did the telling. Giancarlo was just 10 years old when I met him, and he'd get sort of choked up every time I asked him to read an excerpt. Here he is reading what he wrote to go with a picture of a man and a boy with their heads down on a kitchen counter.
I think the dad is a fireman because he has a mug with number one, fire. You can't see the AN on the other side. There are bills on the counter, and he's looking through the classifieds. Maybe he can't pay all the bills, and he's looking for another job. There's a piece of classified torn off on the counter. Could be a job that he might want. The drapes behind them make a beautiful triangle shape above their heads. And there's a wedding picture hung next to them on the wall that shows a happier time in the dad's life.
When I read that one, I thought, those are such adult thoughts that you're having. Do you ever feel like you're thinking more like an adult than like a kid?
Sometimes. Yeah, and sometimes it bothers me a little bit because I'm thinking, too far ahead of time. Or I'm thinking about all the things that can go wrong instead of right. But, yeah, it occurs to me sometimes.
I asked Thomas about his son and why he thought he seemed like such a little adult.
I think Giancarlo is a very special boy, but I also think people underestimate children. So I'm not sure if it's exactly that it's an adult. I think what he writes like is he writes as if he's a child whose feelings and opinions are valued.
Okay, I'm going to play you one more clip of Thomas from 12 years ago. In this one, he's talking about why he wanted to do the book with Giancarlo in the first place.
I had a friend who was 56 years old, and he died suddenly. I was confronted with my mortality in a new way. He was just about my age. And I had realized that Giancarlo had just became old enough where if I did die, he would remember me. Some nut screaming for his wife, saying, where's my wallet? Where's my keys? I'm late for work. What could I do? Sit down with him and say, dad's afraid of dying, and this is what you should know about me. And I realized that most of whatever I'm about, I'm not in touch with anyway. but hopefully it's in our work somewhere.
So back then, I knew that Thomas and Giancarlo's book had something sad behind it. But I didn't realize how sad. And that there was a good reason why Giancarlo, as a young kid, would be thinking about all of the things that could go wrong. Let me explain.
I don't think my voice has changed that much.
It's almost the same,
almost the same, yeah.
Giancarlo is 22 now, a college grad. He got in touch with me recently, told me he and his dad had a second book out. It's called The Waters of Our Time. Just like last time, Thomas took the pictures, Giancarlo did the writing. It's a beautiful little book with 142 photos that Thomas culled from 38,000 images, his life's work. They seem just to be snapshots, a kid getting something from the fridge, sulking on a bench, up at bat with his shirt off. They're all Giancarlo at different times in his life. But there are also lots of photos of a woman, brunette, slender. That's Thomas's wife, Anna. But Giancarlo's captions weave the pictures into a fictional story from the perspective of an elderly woman. It starts smack on the cover, like this.
I'm told I met my father, but if I did, I wasn't old enough to remember him. It seems silly at this age to be thinking of myself as someone's daughter, but I guess I still do.
And then there are other lines alternating with Giancarlo's in a gray italicized font. Those are song lyrics.
Well, the song is Follow. It was written by a man named Jerry Merrick. It's famously sung by Richie Havens, who's a big hero of mine, also a Brooklyn boy.
Can you read the first verse of the song?
Okay. Well, it begins, "Let the river rock you like a cradle.
Let the river rock you like a cradle.
Climb to the treetops, child, if you're able.
Climb to the treetops, child, if you're able.
Let your hands tie a knot across the table.
Let your hands tie a knot across the table.
Come and touch the things you cannot feel.
Come and touch the things you cannot feel."
Reading this book, I was trying to figure out why a 22-year-old guy would write a story from the point of view of an old woman. I asked Giancarlo about the book's dedication, and then I started to get it.
So the dedication of the book says, "For Mary."
Yes. I have a sister who died the same day she was born when I was 4 years old. And that's who Mary is, and that's who the book is dedicated to.
Toward the end of the book, there's a picture of Anna sitting in a chair, hugging herself, looking distraught. Finally, on the last page, there's a baby dress, white and lacy and laid out on an oriental rug, empty. It was Mary's. When Giancarlo was about 4, his mom was pregnant. More than halfway through her pregnancy, she went to the hospital with a high fever.
And I kept reassuring him that everything was going to be all right. But the last moment, a doctor came in. She said, "This is all wrong. We're going to lose her," meaning Anna, "and get her into surgery immediately." I knew I had to get Giancarlo out of there. So I asked my friend to take him home.
And he put me on his shoulders and he brought me to the elevator. So my babysitter and I went to the elevator and I waved goodbye to him, to my dad, who's standing outside. And the elevator, and this is what I remember most vividly, the elevator doors just did not close for whatever reason. And I kept waving, saying, "Bye, Daddy, bye, Daddy." He kept waving back. And I just remember the feeling of, it was almost like an out-of-body experience, like time had stopped for that moment, literally.
Mary lived just a few hours. When a baby dies, we mostly think of the grief of the parents. But there's Giancarlo with a sister he never met, wondering, imagining.
You know, would I have to live in the basement and she would have had my room? I mean, you know, what would it mean if I had to, you know, menace a prom date or something?
Giancarlo, of course, will never stop looping the what-ifs of Mary in his mind. But the book became his ultimate what-if. What if Mary had lived a full life and was looking back on all of it? What would she be thinking?
Just like playing out this, that narrative in my head so many times, it almost feels to me like it happened.
For Studio 360, I'm Hillary Frank.
Thomas and Giancarlo Roma's most recent book is called The Waters of Our Time. There's more from that story, which aired first on Hillary Frank's podcast at studio360.org.